Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Ready to come. Waiting.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever episode
175
here as always with
Mike the Feverish Fanero and
Dave FF underscore Spaceman Wright.
Well, that was a fun twist.
Didn't even know what was happening.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning.
Yeah, depends on when you're listening, sure.
How the hell are you guys?
I love listening to Rookie Fever in the morning.
Man, any chance I get. I can't even tell you my favorite time. Usually I'm busy doing something. The kids are out of the house in some fashion.
I start every rookie profile completely naked.
Wow.
Yep, I'm in the shower. I have a little speaker in the shower. I put on Mr. FF underscore Spaceman's rookie profile, and I'm completely nude.
Now, I would say that's probably where my best ideas come from, but it's when I'm listening to you. It's not when it's not where I record. And then, but yes. Dave shows up here freshly showered, and he likes to air dry, as we know.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is that we just have different, you know, we have different philosophies. You start naked. I end up naked. It's just, you know, that's just a just how it works.
Our emotional stability.
Dude, guys, 3 weeks till the NFL draft as of today. 3 weeks. Countdown has begun. 21 days. Go.
21?
Isn't that 3 weeks?
I thought you said start the countdown.
Is anyone excited as I am? I mean, 3 weeks goes by pretty fast.
Oh, man, I'm excited. These shows have been really fun. It's kind of been a breath of fresh air to meet up with you guys after doing our player profiles for the week. And we had some more great ones drop this week. So now we're going to do Rookie Fever 2021 Superflex Rookie Mock.
Nice.
First round, 1 through 12. We didn't even really decide who drew the first pick. I drew the third. These guys are fighting for the first and second. I don't know if you want a paper, rocks, scissors. I don't know, like, what kind of game would be fun? What do you guys think out there? Ideas. Okay, so let's say paper, rock, scissors. That seems easy. We'll okay. Get it done.
All right. I think we did this last time, and he wins every time.
He cheats. He's a cheater.
I've yet to do it.
Oh.
With you.
He's like, I've never played.
I suck at this game.
It's going to be tough with
it. Wait. It's pretty. Right. It doesn't matter. It's
Here we go. Here we go. One, two, three, shoot.
That was a tie.
It was a tie. We both did scissors. Here we go
we'll
again.
Get to this.
One, two, three, shoot. No way. We both did that paper.
That was a late paper by you.
It was a late. No, that's latency, dude. My paper was straight up before your paper.
It was flaccid, but it was. I have no idea what I'm going to do. I think it was there.
Okay, ready?
Let's do this.
Let's see.
One, two, three, shoot.
Gotcha. Oh, rock against scissors. I think rock wins.
No, I went pencil.
Pencil?
Yeah, I'll smash
your
pencil.
What the hell is pencil?
Is pencil not a thing? I thought pencil wrote on paper.
Michigan, I've never heard of it. No, scissors cuts paper.
Dave, is there a pencil?
There's no pencil.
There's no rock, paper,
scissors.
It's called rock, paper, scissors. Well, you know what? It was a broken pair of scissors.
Rock, paper, scissors, pencil. I'm going to erase all your shit. All right.
So I'll take the 101 then.
You are 101, followed by Feverish at 102, 103, and then I'll come back to 104. Or no, we won't snake. Then we'll go back to Dave at 104.
Sweet. So I'll get this easy. It's Lawrence. I don't think he's like the clear and away 101 at QB, but he's my 101 at QB. He's got experience. He's young. He's uber efficient. A little bit of rushing flair. I really liked a lot of what was discussed in the Jordan or the Jordan McNamara rookie profile, a little bit different twist to it. But yeah, I really like Lawrence and the 101. I think that's just a, especially from a value standpoint, if we're going to talk about like tradability or just how much value like going forward, I really like the idea of having Lawrence as the first pick.
Tough to argue.
It is tough to argue.
Feverish, I'm curious where you go with your pick. Rumblings in the news of who NFL teams could be taking.
Yep. Yeah, this one's actually quite easy for me. Dave and I were talking just a little bit before the show, and Justin Fields will be my pick at number two. I think he's a lot closer to Trevor Lawrence than Benny is to the rest of the group. I think they're 1A, 1B. These two have been linked together since high school, and rightfully so. They're both just waiting, salivating for the NFL chance. And I just hope that some of this talk about Fields falling is a bunch of BS. His mobility, his arm, everything you want in the NFL, and everything you want in fantasy, really. I mean, Justin Fields, 102, is a really easy pick for me.
So what do you guys think? Do you think New York passes by Justin Fields?
It sounds like it.
Yeah, and possibly really, in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one could argue, I mean, San Francisco's a nice landing spot, don't get me wrong, but, you know, if Fields falls a little further, let's say he really falls to like a Denver. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, I like that spot. You know, he's got some spots. I mean, just because he doesn't go where we're ranking him in this mock doesn't mm-hmm. mean that he doesn't wind up in an even better spot. I mean, I'd rather have him on Denver than the Jets. I don't know about you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would. Yeah.
You have to wonder how much of this is smokescreen too. Is Atlanta trying to get a field? They're like, are you really taking Zach Wilson here? Like, there maybe that's like some of the Mac Jones rumors are. You don't know. It's tough to. This is we always say this is misinformation season when it comes to NFL draft prospects. And Schefter, yeah, he's usually really clued in, but it's not like this is misinformation season here. Everything that Fernando said, I have to agree with, because Fields has it all, especially from a fantasy perspective.
Or do the Patriots move up to number four there, and then they take whatever quarterback's available, maybe Justin Fields?
I mean, Atlanta's already come out and said, you know, if you guys want the pick, give us a call. So, and I think that's not a bad move for Atlanta. I mean, I could see Atlanta also picking a quarterback if they wanted. A Trey Lance would be a perfect spot. I think Trey Lance is going to be a guy that might need a year or even two, so they could hold on to Ryan and respectfully let him go when the time is right, and then have a replacement that had some time to kind of be with the system, be with Matt Ryan, all that fun stuff. So, you know, you might see quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4, and you might see Atlanta trade back, and then someone else is going to be that 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yep. And then so that would come to me, so I'll get my pick out of the way. And I want to start by saying something Dave said. I don't know if we were recording yet or not, but this is all going to change so much, and I can't wait for landing spots. Still, this is really fun to do. With what I know today, I'm getting Zach Wilson. I think the Jets are probably going to take him there at number two, and I want a quarterback that I think is going to start year one, even if I don't think it's a good idea for a team. I still think they're going to draft him and put him out there week one, and I've got myself a starting quarterback in Superflex. I liked having this three spot just in case you guys didn't take Justin Fields. I wanted to make sure he didn't go by.
Yeah, and actually for me, these three quarterbacks are where I'm going to kind of have a teardrop in this mock. So I was giving you the thumbs up for the people that didn't see that on the Zach Wilson pick, because there was a part of me that thought you might go running back or wide receiver there just to grab the cream of the crop. But in a super flex, that's just the right call, man. If Wilson's really going to go that early, you have a starting quarterback. And in super flex, that's so valuable. So valuable. I mean...
No, as the great Feverish Fanero would say, nothing's in a vacuum.
Well, so actually, once I'm we glad get you landing brought that
spots,
up.
Too, you know, you never yep. know who I might really like. Najee Harris landing spot there, and I might be okay at quarterback and feel like that's the best competitive move for me in that moment. So I could see those kind of things happening, like absolutely, especially after landing spots. You guys know how I like my running backs too, but yeah, sticking with Zach Wilson.
Mocking is literally the closest thing to something in a vacuum. and you know nothing is in a vacuum, but mocking is so close to that because we just, I mean, we don't even have draft capital right now, let alone we're not trying to form a team right now. We're not, you know what I mean? We don't know what we need. You know, this is about as close as you can get to being in a vacuum right now as these picks. But Zach Wilson, I think, has got to be the pick there. Dave, would you go Zach Wilson just out of curiosity before we move on?
No, I would not.
Okay. All right.
Your guy fell to you, Dave. Your guy fell to you.
I actually hate it that it happened this way because I was all set of taking another person at 104, but I have to take – I find Trey Lance to be a really intriguing quarterback. I think he – there is a sense of risk with him because he's inexperienced, and I understand the FCS part of it, but I really like a lot about like what Mark Schofield said and what I've heard from other people say about how he makes a lot of play or decisions at the line. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, be pre-snap, uber efficient, doesn't turn the ball over, and that rushing upside. And I understand that there's, you know, he might, I understand like the risk that goes in Trey Lance, but that upside, with if he can be even close to efficient and accurate as he was in college, combined with that rushing upside, is what really excites me at the quarterback positions and what I target. And I love Lance, and I hate to do it because I was excited to take someone else here, but Trey Lance is my probably one of the more exciting picks for me to take in the first round.
Yes. I mean, as a super flex guy, I love that we've taken four quarterbacks in a row.
It just feels right. I mean, we talked about that, you know, positional premium that quarterbacks have in a super flex. So it feels right to go 1, 2, 3, 4. The question is, will we go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Mm-hmm. Am I up next?
You are. You are. You have the answer to the question you've asked our listeners.
And I am going to go Ja'Marr Chase. LSU, Burrow's magical season. I think this kid, I mean, there are so many different things that you could say about Ja'Marr Chase, but the one that you hear over and over and over again is that he outproduced Justin Jefferson in that amazing 2019 season. As much as that is starting to become cliche, it's also a fact. He did opt out. This is one of the things, honestly, that I think one of the facts, if you will, that I think is the most telling, which is he opted out of all of last season, and he's still probably going to be a top five pick in the NFL draft. I mean, the NFL doesn't seem to care that Ja'Marr Chase didn't play last year. In 2019, he threw up 1,780 yards, averaging 21.2 yards like that, 14 touchdowns. He's coming in as, in my opinion, the consensus wide receiver one in this class, and this class is also pretty good.
Yeah, I don't hate it at all.
That's who I was hoping to take at 104, and it pains me not to take him because I just wrote an article for DLF on him. He's everything that you like about him except him opting out. That's the only thing I can think of is that he opted out. That's to not like him.
Yeah, and that doesn't bother me, to be honest with you.
Same here. We're dealing in extraordinary times. That's the same thing with Lance, why I didn't let his – not playing last year. What, you're going to penalize a kid because his school didn't play football games?
Right.
Right. He played one game last year, Lance.
I am taking Mac Jones here under the assumption that the 49ers draft him. And I feel pretty good getting a second quarterback in Superflex at the 106 here. This is a strategy I'll probably honestly be implicating within my drafts. And who knows if it'll fall exactly like this. We are pretty quarterback heavy. The fifth quarterback is off the board here. I don't know if I could imagine Harris and Chase Pitts all falling. So, but for me, I'm going to be looking at these quarterbacks like 105 to 108. Those values, like, we won't have any of those in this draft now, but that's right. That's what I'm going to be trying to look at within mine. But I want the guys I feel like will hit. So right now for me, again, Mac Jones, under the assumption the 49ers draft him and you guys just let him fall to me.
I mean, John Hogue would be proud of us right now, guys. He'd be very proud of us. You know,
are you kidding me? I'm proud of us.
This is, I didn't think I'd have this fall to me. We're at 107 right now.
Yep.
So, and this is exciting. I'm going Najee Harris here, and I am not even the biggest Najee Harris fan, but it gets back to the, you draft a running back and usually you see those players gain in perceived value if they produce early on. So that's kind of the idea. And, you know, there's not a ton of running backs out there.
It's almost crazy, dude. honestly. Yeah. Najee Harris at 107, like, he fell to you because of how we drafted. Love it.
So real quick, I want to put something out there. I listened to Harris on the Adam Schefter podcast, and he was interviewed, and the first thing that they started with was the correct pronunciation of his first name. It is Najee Harris. Najee.
I really appreciate that. I appreciate doing that. One more time.
Najee.
Najee. Okay.
Yeah, just think of the letter G. Like, when I do ETN, I just do the letter ETN. It's a slightly off from the correct pronunciation, but it's never really bad. ETN is close. But everyone, like, I was saying Najee Harris. You were a lot closer, Dave, when you said his name. I was saying Najee Harris forever. It's Najee. Najee. He literally said on the podcast, he goes, I don't even really think it's that hard to say, but everyone messes it up. Like, everyone. So I feel like on Rookie Fever, we got started off right. And just
what did,
like,
I say? I thought I said that.
You might have. It's Najee Harris.
I feel like I'm learning on Rookie Fever. This is I'm getting emotional.
It's also an amazing pick at 107.
I love that pick. I love him on somewhere like the Steelers. But who knows? Who knows? Feverish.
You guys think he... Oh, sorry.
No.
You guys think he goes round one in the NFL draft?
Yeah.
If he does, it's to the Steelers. We also have landing spots very early in the second round where I think we could possibly see all three of the top three running backs go. We have Atlanta up there. We have the Jets up there. We have Miami up there. That's a real hot spot for these guys, and we don't typically see too many running backs go in the first round. Clyde barely fit in last year.
I think he goes in the first round or very early just because there's not as many good running backs in this class.
I think the need
could be there, whereas last year they didn't have to be as choosy.
Yep.
But
And the rookie profile in me is coming out right now. We asked our guests this. Where do you guys rank Najee Harris compared to the 2020 running back class?
Today?
Yeah, today. I mean, without knowing landing spot or draft cap, but where do you rank Najee Harris? Or Najee, sorry, Najee Harris.
I was going to say, I don't know who you're talking about, but then you corrected the name, and now I know who you're talking about. Where in last year's class?
Yeah, well, like, stack up those running backs.
He's above Clyde, below Jonathan Taylor and Swift. He's right there. Because I've seen Akers, I'm going to put Akers ahead of him too. But yeah, they're close.
I would say probably like 5 to 7.
He's right there.
I've been kind of jotting names down, but I'm still taking Swift, Taylor, Dobbins, Akers, maybe even James Robinson. I'm taking all the landing spots I like over the unknown today. You know, I'm fine being the guy that's like, ooh, I sounded really dumb before we knew landing spots. But yeah, right today, I mean, to be honest with you, I would trade James Robinson, I guess, for a 101 in a one quarterback league.
You would.
So we'll take Robinson out of there. But still, I'm going to take Swift, Taylor, Dobbins, and Akers. I'm going to take all those guys over Harris today with no landing spot.
I would trade my Dobbins for Harris right now.
I get it.
I think I'm there as well.
I get it. I mean, but yeah, just for me, like, I feel a little bit more secure.
Yep. No, I get it.
But
I just really enjoyed it. I've heard you guys ask guests this all the last, you know, 5-6 weeks.
Yeah.
It was just a joy to hear you guys give that answer. So thanks for that, guys.
You flipped it on us. It is hard to do, but it was fun.
Yeah. Feverish, where would you go with number 8 here?
Yeah. So this one's easy for me as well. So I'm going to go Devonta Smith. Paul Perdikizi and I covered him pretty early in the rookie profiles. Waddle got hurt pretty early, broke his ankle on special teams, which we might get to Waddle today. I don't know. Maybe not. But, you know, the big thing is 170 pounds. Paul wasn't worried about it. I've heard a lot of other people I really respect not worry about it. It's just the weight the guy plays at. It's not like he's 5'7". He's 6 foot. He is slender, but I mean, just everything he does right. He's a yak monster. He's super efficient. He has great speed. And yeah, he just had something like 1,856 yards last season on 117 receptions.
Just something like that.
And then people will sometimes argue, it's like, oh, well, if Waddle was there, he wouldn't have had that kind of season. That's probably true. But Waddle wasn't there. Everyone knew who the ball was going to. And they're in a, you know what I mean? Where he plays, he's going up against stiff competition. Everybody knew it was going to Devonta Smith, yet Devonta Smith still had 117 catches, 1,856 yards, and a Heisman Trophy. So you can say as much as you want that he's a product of Waddle getting hurt. I'm going to say that that excites me about Devonta Smith. It does not make it a detractor. Does 170 pounds concern me? Sure, but not enough to avoid this. I'm not going for any other wide receiver in this spot. I've made this over the last 3 weeks. It's decisive for me. I've had other names kind of flirt with Devonta Smith, and I'm just done with it. It's for me, it's chasing Devonta Smith, and I'm locked in. I don't even care where they're drafted at this point. I'm locked in as they're my one and the two.
Dave, where are you at with that?
I like Devonta Smith than a lot more other, or sorry, I like Devonta Smith more than other people who are more numbers driven because they don't like the later breakout age. Still, yep, meets a threshold for me there. And his peak production is like no other. I will take one or two other wide receivers based on draft capital before him, or like landing spot and draft capital before him, just because of some of the concerns. But I like him. He's locked into my tier two wide receivers. I don't think there's a way that I could not have him as a tier two. Whereas I think some people might have him because of his size and BMI. They don't want any of them. And you guys know how I feel about the BMI. Get that crap out of here.
I am going uncharacteristic here with my ninth pick. With my third pick, excuse me, ninth pick overall. So we've seen Trevor Lawrence go, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Jamar Chase, Mac Jones, Najee Harris, Devonta Smith, and now I'm taking Kyle Pitts. Kind of, yep, fell to me. I've heard some crazy stories about Kyle Pitts going as early as 101 in these Superflex tight end premium mock drafts. So to get him at 9, I feel pretty good. A tight end might not be what I always do with some of the players that are on the board here, but I really like this value here and adding him to my tight end garden, knowing that I've got Dave and Feverish behind me here at 10 and 11. He wasn't come back to me at 12. I'm going to make this move and really feel pretty good about it here.
I don't think he would have been there for you if I hadn't forgot that it was tight end premium.
You were the one that asked.
I know. I asked. You said, sure, why not? And then you hit the little magical button that starts the show. And
that,
like,
is
that,
not
I
how
forgot.
It went. I have
It's my
proof.
Version of the story. It's my version of the story. Where's your proof?
Oh, man, it would take me so long to find it. I'm not going to have to find it. They're going to hear, like, all every minute.
Oh, no.
From where you said that up until where I hit the magical button now.
Put that at the end. That would be perfect for the end.
We'll do it. Chipmunk
style. They have
style.
To listen to the, yeah, they
so
have
they
to
have
listen
to
slow the whole
it down.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just happy you didn't make me have to choose Pitts on the clock because I
yeah,
struggle.
It feels like you have to, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, at that spot, hell yeah, in premium. I've seen him with all the mocks that I've been doing. I see him go anywhere between 5 and 7.
I was on a Superflex live show just before recording tonight, and he went 103 over Trevor Lawrence. So
that's wow,
that's just people.
And that was live.
Live. There's no taking it back.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
So yeah, it's tough. Pitts is really attractive. The thing with tight end premium. It really depends what the premium is because premium, I want a tight end premium. Like when you only have one tight end, it's because you only have to start one of them. Like a premium just adds points. It doesn't affect how they rank within each other. You know what I mean? So I just don't get excited about tight end premiums. It has to be two tight ends for me to start getting gung-ho about Pitts. So that's kind of how I view him. Even that being said, I'm not sure if I could have passed him at 110. So happy that Swags took him. I'm stalling because I don't know what I'm going to do yet. it's really tough, and I don't think the running backs in this class are like. I think Najee Harris does have that elite potential, not elite, but that RB1 potential, top 12. I'm curious about the other running backs, so without knowing their landing spots, I'm gonna go my guy Rondale Moore. He's my wide receiver 2. The size, I think I would have started to worry once he hit 5'5", but 5'7" doesn't worry me. That early production, that athleticism, and I just get excited about how I think he can be used in the NFL. So I'll go Rondale Moore.
What if Rondale Moore doesn't go until the third round of NFL draft?
I'd be really shocked if that happened. I would be really shocked. And if that was the case, then I would go ETN right here.
All right. I was just curious if draft capital would change it for you because there's so many good wide receivers in this draft that some really good wide receivers like Rondale Moore are going to be pushed down into like an early third kind of draft capital. And I know that how some people are about draft capital. I'm starting to be one of those people, but I do break down around the third or fourth. Like, I start to cluster people after that, depending on position and depending on the depth of the class. I think you have to, context matters, right? So for me, there would be a difference a little bit for me if he was picked much later than that, early third, but I think I still really wouldn't change my opinion. With that all being said, he wasn't in my first round.
And that's fine. I understand. The thing is at 110, thinking he's got at least top two round draft capital, mm-hmm. I like having the 110 because I know that I think he's going to be there at 110. And yeah. Do I have to take him there all the time? No. But if he fell in the third round, I feel like I'd be forcing it 110 because yeah. I wouldn't have to take him there.
Sure. Does that put me up?
That does.
Yeah, so I am going to go Travis Etienne.
You're on the clock. You're done.
Yeah, the clock's already. Yep, my card was in while we were bantering about Mr. Rondale Moore. Yeah, Travis Etienne for me here, definitely. What do I have, 111 right now? I'm getting Travis Etienne.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with that. Very happy with that.
This is the weirdest mock ever.
It is.
No wonder people don't invite us on the mock.
There's no live sheets.
Oh, well, Dave gets invited on. Number. Only Dave gets invited on shows.
I do see Travis Etienne falling some in rookie drafts, and it's usually because of Javonte Williams. I see a lot of people pushing Javonte Williams up, and I'm actually like getting a little excited about that because I do have Etienne above Javonte Williams. As excited as Garrett Price and I got in our rookie profile about Javonte Williams, I'm still very impressed about Etienne's 1,600-yard back-to-back seasons in 20. Well, that's not all-purpose, Swags. We're talking about 1,600 yards on the ground.
I mean,
2 years back-to-back.
Check this out. I've had my guy in my 12 spot since I think before I took Pitts, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And I just crossed him out because I thought there would be no way that Javonte Williams would be there for me. So right. My guy hopefully falls to me next week at 14, yep. 13, 14, 15, at 15. But yeah. for today, I'm going to have to take Williams with no landing spots. I'm surprised he's here for me. I'm loving it. I'm hoping that next week Dave doesn't take my guy and then you don't take my guy and then I get to take my guy.
I hope I get to take my guy.
You do, Dave.
Who's not your guy or my? Yeah.
You could even tease us, but don't do it, Dave. This has been another fun rookie fever.
Yeah, highly digestible too, and you all have to wait for our second round mock next week.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we're in the minority about going so QB heavy? Do you think that's out of the ordinary?
Yes and no.
I was going to say minority seems a little too aggressive. That particular, I don't think it's minority, but I think it's what would be a word above that? It's somewhere in between. Swags was about to head there. Probably shouldn't have stopped him. He was about to head there.
I mean, for me, like the way this draft went, like for me, like I agree with you, Finero. I would have taken Justin Fields at 102, but after that, for me, it was Zach Wilson because I assumed a landing spot there of the Jets. And then Dave went Trey Lance, really likes him a lot. Dave, do you have a landing spot assumed?
No, I actually, I think that he could be a target for San Francisco. I've heard some buzz about San Francisco. I don't, even if he doesn't go there, I'm not scared away by him landing Atlanta. So I'm pretty agnostic for where he lands, like because mm-hmm. of his rushing ability.
And then Finero, you end up taking Jamar Chase at 105, which I totally understand. He's my wide receiver one in this class as well. But for me, I was ecstatic to take Mac Jones there, who then again, like for me, I have a landing spot in my head, which I think will be the 49ers today.
Yep.
With what we're seeing in a lot of the NFL mocks. It's not a Bible, but that's what we're seeing today. So that's what I have to go off of. And then, So I mean, at that point, yeah, we took five there, but with what we know today, like, yeah, I don't think it's that crazy. I totally get what you're saying, but I would be surprised if this is how it was after we know landing spots. There's going to be somebody in, there's going to be a Jacob Eason in here and a Jordan Love in here.
Sure.
But
yeah, it's funny, like with all the, I think I was telling you guys before we jumped on, I'm about through 50 mocks, super flex mocks, and there, I would say 50% of them will bail right after Fields. So it'll go Trevor Lawrence, Fields, and then they'll bail. Then it'll be Najee Harris or Chase. If it was tight end premium, Pitts will maybe even fall in there.
Yep.
And then those quarterbacks go after those two or three big guys I just told you about. But then the other 50% of the mocks go 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
And Mac Jones, even though we're all pretty sure that Mac Jones could go top three, Mac Jones still winds up being cast aside and thrown into, I would say, 80% of leagues, thrown into the late first. So maybe people will come around after the actual drafts and start bumping that ADP up a little bit. But you're right. I mean, Swags, when you made it real simple. You're like, this is a starting. If he's going to be picked in the top three, I have a starting quarterback. Yeah. I really don't care about his mobility at that point.
Yeah. And that was after Fields. Go ahead, Dave.
Sorry. A month and a half ago when I was mocking, Mac Jones wasn't going in the first round. He was going 201, 202. So I think we're seeing him steadily climb up because we thought he would be going mid-first, right? That, or like maybe Pittsburgh was the floor, I think people were maybe saying.
A month and a half ago, I definitely thought like that strategy I brought up of like where I want to get some of those quarterbacks that are going to fall like 106 to 110, I thought that was going to be more feasible than I do today. But then we'll see what happens with the landing spots. That this could totally change. So I think next week, round two, that could get more interesting with all the wide receivers and top three running backs off the board. Next week, we've got a lot of wide receivers. Get the final thoughts this week.
Ooh, I like it.
I didn't really have anything thought up, and this was my idea that you guys never knew about. So,
Now you know how it feels.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We'll keep it simple. Don't forget to be awesome. But while you're doing that, like, just do it naturally. And don't worry about who notices the kind things you do, even if you don't notice them. Before you know it, you're just going to do those nice things, and you won't even notice them anymore. It'll just become part of you. Do them for the right reason. Who cares of the reactions you get? Who cares if somebody says thank you when you open the damn door for them? Just hold the frickin' door. That's why you're doing it, to be nice, not to get recognition. I am at Swagzilla0G. He is at ArtBarkTV, the feverish Fanero. He is at FF_Spaceman. Dave, I need to come up with like a fancy nickname for you. I always want it to be too rookie-ish, but we'll think of something, Dave.
The Spaceman works.
The Spaceman's dope. Spaceman's dope. Appreciate you guys. You kick ass. We's out. You guys can talk now. You got 45 seconds. All for you guys to share.
So I just scrolled through all 50 of my mocks, and Mac Jones, the earliest he went in any of them was 1.5. 1.5 to 1.8 is his early area, and I was half of those because I was involved in every mock. Half of those mocks where he went between 105 and 108 was me.
Curious, Swags, you are based on landing spot and draft capital. Do you like Mac Jones as a quarterback?
I like Justin Fields more. I think it'd be crazy if the first two teams passed on Justin Fields with what we know today.